give you thanks for this church, this community gathered here to worship. We give you thanks for your creation, the changing seasons, falling leaves. We give you thanks. For your mercy, for your forgiveness, for your love, we give you thanks. In our weakness, we thank you, for your power is made evident. In our failures, we thank you, for your grace is sufficient. Even in the trials, through the struggles and pain, as you form us into who you want us to be, turning our mess into your message. Today and every day, we give you thanks.
Great is your faithfulness, O God. Will be forever. To the Lord right where you are. Encounter God in this moment. God, we thank you that we are no longer slaves to fear. We thank you, Lord, that you set us free from darkness, sin, and the grave, that you conquered those things when you died on the cross, Jesus. That your name conquers all things. Love always wins. And God, we thank you for your grace, your unmerited favor, the free gift of your love, your redemption. There's no one like you, Jesus. Just open up your mouth and begin to speak to the Lord in your own language. Begin to pray in the Spirit. Let the Lord touch you in this moment. Israel was captive in Egypt for 400 years, slaves, held by the enemy, who wanted to keep them oppressed, who wanted to keep them in bondage, who didn't want them to know who they really were, that they were children of the Most High God, called out for a special purpose. A special identity, given talents, given a name, the name that is inherited from the name above every other name, Israel. And God knew that when he brought them out, he knew what they would do. He knew that when they got to the Red Sea that they would doubt. He knew that they would be afraid. He knew that they wouldn't trust him. He knew that they would complain. But you know what happened when they got to that sea? He parted it. He parted the Red Sea. He split the sea, and they walked right through it. Come on, give God a hand of praise. That's what he wants to do for you this morning. God knows every mistake. He knows everything that we'll ever do wrong, and yet he gives us grace that brings us to the other side, that splits the sea for us, that helps us to overcome the attack of the enemy. There is nothing too hard for God. Come on, give him praise this morning. He deserves it. He's a good God. We love you, Jesus. Come on, let's sing that chorus again. You split the sea. Come on, sing it out. Hallelujah.
Come on, give God one more big hand of praise. Hallelujah. You can be seated. So glad that you're here this morning. Welcome to Carpenter Shop International Church. It's a joy to be with you. If this is your first time here, we want to ask you to meet us in the foyer after the service at the Welcome Center. We want to give you a special gift and a personal welcome to Carpenter Shop Church. And at this time, we're going to continue to worship the Lord with our tithes and our offerings. There are several ways to give. You can do so by text. You can do so on our My Church app. You can also do so on our website. If you're giving by cash or check, please make sure to include your email so that we can send you a giving receipt. And you can make your way forward at this time to drop your offering in the buckets. God bless you as you give.
I love church so much. I mean, we've got three kids, so it's got what I'm looking for, you know? Free childcare. That is such a blessing from God. It is, isn't it? I mean, I can hand my screaming child over to, and at my church, it's a volunteer. Somebody volunteers to watch screaming children. Man, I have no idea what kind of sin she has committed. And in my church, we have a system where you hand your kid over, and then they give you a little number on a piece of paper. So you hand the kid over, and you get a receipt for the kid, and which I'm against for many reasons. One, the first time they did it, they handed me the receipt, and I was like, what is this? And they're like, you can't get your kid unless you have that number. And I was like, well, good, I got a shredder, keep him. But they're serious about it. If you hand your kid over, and then if your kid is bad, the number will pop up on the video screen in the auditorium, and you're supposed to get him. Well, here's my other problem with that. I'm against that because I'm a Christian, and that is gambling, because you're betting against your number, are you not? I didn't even know what happened the first time. I sat down, the number instantly popped up. I was like, bingo! Here's my other problem with that. My wife and I, we ignore the number. Every Sunday, we ignore the number. Number pops up, we're like, uh-uh. We're not gonna go get him. Why do you think we're here? So, but we do. It was funny, one time the volunteer even came in looking for us, trying to find us, like she was gonna be able to spot us with our wig and glasses on. I was home last Sunday. It was funny. I handed my kid over and they gave me the number. I was like, here you go. And she was like, no, here you go. You know how this works by now. This is your son's number. If you see his number come on the screen, if you see 666, see?
Well, praise the Lord. That's 6 o'clock tonight. Laughter does good like a what? Like a medicine. Amen. So invite your friends. It's free admission. Come out and let's laugh together a little bit. 6 o'clock tonight. Amen. Well, so good to see you guys. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. It's good to be here. Pastor Joy and myself and Pastor Mike and Bonnie and other ministers, Brian and Harp, several other pastors were with us on that journey. I think we had about 7 or 8 pastors, and the rest of them were from various churches, and then one couple from Florida. And we had a great time. We had a wonderful pilgrimage to the Holy Land. That's exactly what it is, a pilgrimage. It's a rite of passage almost. It's a like you've accomplished something. And people ask me all the time, why do you keep going? There's two reasons. One, I learned so much more myself. My theology is stretched every time I go. and also have the privilege of being the influence that causes other people to go. And you know, I've said to many a pastor, "Hey man, you need to go." "I don't know if I need to go or not." I said, "Well, you really need to. You need to do that once, at least once." And so I've been able to encourage a lot of people to go that have done nothing but been absolutely fulfilled in doing that. A pilgrimage. For several days we walked the steps of Jesus in his public ministry in Galilee. What a beautiful place. The Golan Heights, Nazareth, Bethsaida, Capernaum, Migdal, home of Mary Magdalene. And we made our trek to Jericho, where men like Zacchaeus were transformed. We went by a tree. Don't know if it was the very tree or not, but it was an old one. And I thought of that little song that we learned as kids. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. It just does something for you to be able to visualize those things. We journeyed to Jerusalem, where he spent his time day after day in the Mount of Olives, Garden of Gethsemane, the temple remains. Every day Jesus walked to that temple. Every day he would leave the Mount of Olives. He stayed up behind the Mount of Olives in a little town called Bethany. We didn't go there, but I remembered this from before. He would stay in Bethany and come down to the Mount of Olives each day and have special time and prayer time. And then he would make his trek to the temple every day. He didn't just come on Sunday twice a month. Amen. You know, it's a good time for you to pull your phone out and you know who sits near you and say, "Hey, what's up with this? Where are you?" Amen. Got a few empty seats today, but guess what? That's the way the American church is. Amen. By and large, the American church has become quite passive, and especially with the rise of post-pandemic issues, and it seems like churches everywhere are experiencing somewhat of a kind of a lull, you know, but we got to get busy, guys. We got to get busy. We got to get people back into the house of the Lord. Amen. So we had our times of remembrance, stepping into his empty tomb after viewing the place where he was crucified and he shed his blood for our salvation. We wandered through Bethlehem, the house of bread, the place where Jesus was born. We stood 3 hours. 3 hours plus, maybe 3.5 hours. I don't know exactly how long it was, but we stood for at least 3 hours to just walk and stand in the presence of a 14-point silver star on the ground that marks the spot where the Savior was born. 14 points because it shares his generations. And somehow, faith takes sight. Somehow you get, you know, like, you get this awakening in your spirit, and like you mean this is a reality. This is not a story I read in the Bible, and you know you're at the place where human history evolved. It was formed and provision made for our eternal destiny. The fields of Bethlehem, the shepherds, the star, the place. And even though it was not the first time for me, it seemed as though it was, because there was just something about that experience where faith brings sight. I want you to hear me today. Faith brings sight. That's what I felt today that I should speak to you about. Reminding us all that faith is an amazing force. Faith is an amazing position that sees even when there's nothing to see. You're praying for things. You're believing for things that you cannot see happening in front of you, but you're trusting that there's a God in heaven that is moving beyond your circumstance. Amen. A posture that hangs on to something that's not as though it really were. That's faith. Something that is not really there when you want it or need it to be. That's faith. The Bible is clear. Faith pleases God. Amen. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. So make your assumption there. So in order to please God, what must you have? You must have faith. So without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe, one, that he exists, and secondly, that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. The Bible is clear. Faith is a position in the spiritual realm. Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for. Amen. It is assurance about what we do not see. Have you ever just said that from your lips? You know, I don't understand it. I just believe God's got this. Come on, have you ever said that? I don't understand what she's going through right now with my daughter or my mother or whatever. I don't understand it, but I just have a peace in my heart. You know what that is? That's faith. That's a position. That's a posture that you have elected to take because of who you have faith in. Come on. You have faith in God. He's not a man that he should lie. He's not going to fail you. Amen. He's not going to fail you. Hebrews records that there are ancients, forefathers, men and women of ancient times that were commended for faith. Amen. It says they were commended for faith. They were affirmed by their faith. They were somewhat, the flag was waved in their behalf. Men and women of ancient times who were noted as people of faith, applauded for having faith in God. In fact, Hebrews cites a few examples. Hebrews 11, 7 and 8. By faith, Noah. Somebody say Noah. When warned about things not yet seen. Remember, he's not. These things are not happening yet. But God gives the message to Noah. And God spares he and his family. He's warned about things not seen. In holy fear, he built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became, I love this, became an heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. You know, you can be criticized for having faith in God, but when your faith is affirmed and you're rewarded, then you feel that sense of, you know, I did the right thing. I trusted God. How many times have you worried yourself sick about something and it never came to pass? Because you were praying about it the whole time, and people, not only were you praying, but people around you, people in your prayer circle, people in your network in the faith were praying for you, and then you really couldn't even hardly believe it. You know, maybe you were sitting in a courtroom sweating, just wondering, am I going to be found guilty or not? I'm not guilty, but am I going to be found guilty? And all of a sudden, everything turns in your favor, and then you punish yourself. God, why did I even doubt you? Pastor Noli just made a reference to the feelings that the people of the Red Sea must have had when they were approaching that. Everybody's normal, right? We doubt. But faith is seeing those things that are not as though they were. It also says that by faith, Abraham, verse 8, when called to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, look at this, even though he did not know where he was going. Sometimes you just, it's blind faith. Somebody said that to me one day. I said, all faith is blind. All faith is blind. You can't see. You don't know Jesus because you shook his hand and met him on the corner. You know him by what? You know him by faith. You didn't meet Jesus at Starbucks. Or you didn't bump into him at the Black Friday sale at Walmart, you know? Hey, what are you doing here? We're celebrating you. No, you didn't meet Jesus that way. You met him by what? By faith. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Blessed Trinity, how do I know it? By faith. God in three persons. Blessed Trinity. By faith, I trust that he is. Amen? By faith, God's revealed himself in the revelation, in general revelation in the earth. The heavens declare the glory of God. The earth displays his splendor. And people look and say, wow, there's got to be something behind all this. That's faith. And then there's the special revelation of God that he displayed on the cross of Calvary. God in the flesh, John 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Verse 14, and the Word became flesh. Jesus Christ walked the earth, God incarnate, God in the meat. What is carne? It's meat. God in meat, God in flesh. I was speaking to a Spanish church one time, and I used that as an illustration, and the translator stopped and said, say that again. And I said it, and after the service, they said, that didn't translate too well. I had to work that out for you. I said, okay. No tacos, huh? He said, I'll explain it to you later, but just don't translate well. Some things just don't translate well in other languages. So God incarnate. And so by faith, Noah did what he did. By faith, Abraham did what he did. Verse 11 and 12. And by faith, look at Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, verse 12, who's as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. That happened by faith. Amen? And so faith is that posture. Faith is that position. Faith is that place of spiritual expectation that sees yes when it seems like it's going to be no. Amen? Faith gives you the go when everything around you, everything in the natural says stay. Faith says you're well when everything, even the doctor, says you're sick. But faith says you're well. Faith is the possible when everything seems impossible. And faith pleases God. And sometimes God allows things to happen that makes faith become reality. Faith takes sight, in other words. We see it come to pass. You see it, you experience it. Faith becomes the proof. I trusted, now here it is. And in fact, Hebrews remind us not only faith pleases God, but faith is rewarded. Amen? It's a twofold aspect. Faith activated, hear this, is faith answered. If faith is not activated, it's not answered. You got to activate it. You got to activate it. You know, we enjoy sometimes waking up in the morning. Hey, Alexa, what's the weather for today? And just right from the dresser. Today's going to be partly cloudy, high of 70 degrees, slight chance of rain. And so it gives you a sense of preparing because, you know, Alexa has told you what the day's going to be like. And it's all what? It's all voice activated. I want to submit to you that the church needs to get back to voice activation, that we need to learn to speak to those things that are not as though they were. We need to speak to our bodies, anoint our own selves with oil, pray the prayer of faith over our sick bodies, pray the prayer of faith over our families, speak to our unsaved children, declare that they're saved in the righteousness of God, walking out relationship with God. That's faith. Faith has to be what? Activated. You don't just cling to faith. You activate faith, and you speak to things. Sometimes God allows things to happen. That's a great thing. It becomes a reality. Faith takes sight, and then sometimes it takes a while. Sometimes it takes a while. I remember one time the Holy Spirit really gave me a spanking. My wife was praying for something, and I, in a very wrong way, rebuked her years ago. It's probably been 30 years. She was praying for something, and she said, pray for that. I said, honey, I've prayed already. I just said it ugly. You ever said something ugly to your wife? Sure you have. Stop lying. I just said, stop. I said, God heard you the first day. And you see, then I'm waking up the next morning, and I just said, you know, open the Bible, and I turned to a passage where a man prayed for 21 days, you know. Then all of a sudden, I said, oh, God. So I had to go back to my wife and say, listen, I'm sorry. I injured your spirit yesterday. Let me pray with you about that. Listen, faith is continuing to knock on the door, okay, until God answers. Come on, somebody. Faith is continuing to ring the doorbell. Faith is continuing to send the email. Faith is continuing to text God saying, where are you, Lord? I'm waiting for you. I believe you, Lord. Whatever way you're communicating, faith is always active when an answer comes. Amen? You say, well, I don't know, Pastor. I've had prayers answered, and I didn't think I was really doing anything, but somebody was standing in the gap for you. Somebody was activating faith in your stead. We call that what? Intercession. Somebody was standing in the gap for you. Faith is a powerful thing. Sometimes God allows things to happen that makes it a reality. Sometimes he doesn't. We just have to wait. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. There will come a time where they will mount up with wings as eagles and run and not grow weary and walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. Hebrews 11:6. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. But anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. How diligent are you in your faith? Faith is affirmed by God. God comes through. He heals. He delivers. He sets free. He breaks chains. He releases the bound. He moves us to the places of the supernatural and manifests healing through our hands. God does incredible things. Faith becomes tangible. Faith becomes visible. We see the person healed. And faith takes sight. Are you with me? Faith is something now that you can see. I was thinking about an old song of days gone by. I used to be a Southern gospel fan. Notice I said used to be. I used to be a Southern gospel fan many years ago. Worked at a radio station. Run the disc every day on the old 45s and 33 LPs. Now, I remember playing a song by Squire Parsons. Beulah Land. Anybody remember that song? Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. And someday on thee I'll stand. There my home shall be eternal. Beulah Land, sweet Beulah Land. Second verse says this, I'm looking now to cross that river. I want you to see it through eyes of faith. I'm looking now to cross that river to where my faith shall end in sight. Are you hearing me? To where my faith, when I get there, in other words, oh my God, I'm here. That's how I felt in Israel last week. Can't believe I'm standing. Somebody took a picture of my feet. I think it was Pastor John Porter took a picture of my feet standing on a step that Jesus undoubtedly stood on. He said, hey, I took a picture of your feet standing where Jesus stood. Where my faith now takes sight. Bethlehem is just as real as Cofield is. Bethlehem is just as real as Lewiston is. Bethlehem is real. It's not some story. It's not something that's written that you just have to trust. You can go there, okay? And so he says, I'm looking now across that river to where my faith shall end in sight. There's just a few more days to labor, and I will take my heavenly flight. In other words, I will get to Beulah Land. In many ways, a pilgrimage to this tiny little place the size of the state of New Jersey, where it all began, takes your faith to sight. It's when you see with your eyes, biblical history comes alive, okay? The places, the stories, the smells, the sounds. It just does something to you. One of our pilgrims on the journey was a 71-year-old man who was a cousin of mine. It's only the second time I've been in his presence in my life. He's my cousin. His name is Johnny Caddy. Johnny said to me on one of the later days, he threw his arm around me and he said, Wallace, my faith has become sight. I said, what? He said, my faith has become sight. All I've always believed. He said, now I can see it. I never thought about it. You know, I've been too many times, I reckon. I never really thought about it to that level where it just brought me to tears. He said, my faith has now become sight. In fact, yesterday he sent me this text message. Early Saturday morning, I'm rabbit hunting with my son and my grandson. I'm out here in the woods tearing up as I recall our pilgrimage. It reminded me of the disciples on the road to Damascus, their hearts strangely warmed as they walked and talked with the Savior. I don't think I'll ever read the Bible again the same, Wallace, for I have seen, and I'm so glad that God allowed me to go. To God be the glory. My faith has become sight. God uses things for varied reasons. I come from a very divided family. I hate to tell you that, both sides. Nothing I can do about it in those days. I never met my grandfather, Harry Russell, until he was 74. I shook his hand for the first time. He was just a man. I had no connection to him. I was told he's your grandfather. 74 years old when I met him because he forsook my mom when she was five. He left five kids in the house alone. My grandfather, their grandfather, raised them. He surfaced after a dramatic salvation experience in the state of Mississippi. Highway patrolman pulled him over for supposed drunk driving. And he looked at the officer. The officer said, "Get out of the car." He looked at the officer in tears. He said, "It's not what you think." He said, "I'm not drinking." And the radio was blaring, and Jerry Falwell was preaching on the old time gospel hour. And my grandfather said to him, he said, "I've given my heart to Jesus." And after that, he had to make a long journey back to try to find family. 69 years he walked away from his family. So why should any of us be close? We never were nurtured to be close. We never were told, "Hey, you're kin." This is just a reality. So Johnny and I, face to face for the second time, a restored relationship on this Israel trip. He's 71, I'm 61. We both agreed that this is the second time we've ever been in each other's presence, and it's a blow to the devil who's kept this family scattered for so many years. We together said, "Let's draw a line in the sand, and let's, from this day forward, from Jerusalem, let's build a relationship with each other because we're family." Okay? Faith takes sight. Faith heals. Faith restores. Faith erases. Faith takes sight. Again, Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is confidence in what we've hoped for. You may be sitting here this morning, don't have a relationship with your parents. You may be sitting here this morning, don't know who your daddy is. You know, it's possible. I've had that happen to me once as a pastor here. I had someone pull me in the office one day and said, "Man, I just need to talk to somebody." And when we got to the end of the story, he said, "I just don't know who my dad is. I've never known him, don't know who he is." And he wept like a child. He's a grown man. You want relationships restored. How is it going to happen? By faith. "Well, my father molested me." How are you going to get healed? By faith. "She did something wrong to me when I was a boy." How are you going to get beyond it? By faith. It's by faith, friends. And somehow or another, you have to in your life, even if you never get to Israel, you have to experience something that causes faith to take sight. When you're healed, you can see it. Faith takes sight. What today are you having confidence for? What today do you have spiritual assurance that God is going to do that hasn't yet been done? Are you hearing me? Salvation for a son, salvation for a daughter, salvation for a husband or a wife, healing for you or for someone you love, restoration in a relationship that has undergone challenge or attack. What are you believing God for? The ancients, the forefathers, they saw God move. Men like Abraham, whose name means father of a nation, the father of the faith. He followed Yahweh in all of his directives. He takes his son Isaac, whom the Bible says he loved, to the top of a hill, a mountain called what we've always said is Moriah. If you're in Israel, it's Moriah. Mount Moriah. He takes him there. And the mountain is interesting. At the top of it today, there's a huge bed-like stone. I've been in that building only once in the 13 times I've been to Israel. It's off limits most of the time because it's Muslim controlled. That's the Temple Mount. Underneath that Temple Mount is what is called the Foundation Stone. I remember the first time I heard that when I was in Israel, and I thought, "What? Foundation Stone?" So I said, "What do you mean the Foundation Stone?" The guide said to me, "This is where it all began." He said, "You know, God said, let there be light, and it was." Creation all took place right here. He said, "If you stand up there, you're standing on the Garden of Eden. You're standing in the place where God took nothing and made something out of it." You say, well, why are Muslims in control of it? You know, that's a long story. We don't have time for it. But the reason that there's a gold dome over it is because that's 24 karat gold, by the way. It's not just painted gold. It's 24 karat gold given by Prime Minister Hussein in the nation of Jordan, the Hashemite kingdom just across the other side of the promised land. 24 karat gold donated out of his own personal treasury, not the nation. And underneath of that is a huge rock that would probably be, I've seen it one time, from Matt's guitar here all the way to the keyboard. And it has a little trench running right down the middle of it for the blood to run out of. And that's where Abraham offered Isaac. You say, well, why do the Muslims control it? The Muslims claim it because they believe that that's where Muhammad the prophet ascended into the heavens. And so you can't step up there today. You can get close as the Wailing Wall, and that's it. It all depends on what's going on, whether you can step up there or not, and certainly inside. As I said, I've been 13 times. I've only stepped inside the building one time. The foundation stone. The foundation of what? The foundation of the world. The foundation of everything. In other words, God sees to it later that where he started at all, there's a holy temple honoring his name right on top of it. The temple. Beneath that stone, beneath that gold dome is what is called by many the navel of the earth. The umbilical cord comes out. Okay, you following me? The navel of the earth. That stone that represents his presence. And that's the place where God called Abraham to sacrifice his son, or rather, to bind him. Okay? Those of you who went to Israel know what I'm talking about. They don't call it the sacrifice. They call it the binding. Jews believe that it's the binding, not the sacrifice. Genesis 22 records the story. Sometime later, God, we said the word says God tested him. They say, no, God wasn't testing him at all. God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on a mountain I will show you. See, some of us stop right there and say, wait a minute. God Almighty would tell one of his children to sacrifice your child? I always scratch my head and I say, wonder why God would say, kill your boy. Because you see, in this particular culture, in this society, child sacrifice was not a rare thing. It was going on all the time. People were sacrificing animals. People were sacrificing their kids. And so the Jews would tell us, we sat under a canopy for an hour and argued about this the other day. A healthy argument. But we argued about it back and forth, and they say that the reason that this happened is because God Almighty was making a statement. He was saying through the faith of Abraham, this is the last attempt on sacrificing a child. There's not another human being that will ever be eligible for human sacrifice other than Jesus Christ. Okay? Something for you to think about. I'm not here for a theological study, but I'll throw that out anyway. So early the next morning, the Bible says Abraham gets up, loads his donkey, took with him two of his servants, his son Isaac. And when he'd cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place that God told him about. And on the third day, Abraham looked up. Notice the parallels, third day. Abraham looks up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you. Do you see faith there in chapter 5? We will worship God and then we will come back to you. He's going to offer a sacrifice, but in faith, Abraham has already spoken unto himself and said, I'm going there to sacrifice my son, but I believe I'm coming back with him. That's an act of faith. So verse 6 says, he takes the wood for the burnt offering, places it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. And as the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said, hey, Pop, Yeah, my son. The fire and the wood are here, but where's the sacrifice? Abraham said, God himself will provide the lamb. Okay? Knowing that Abraham was following God's command and taking his son to the top of the hill. When they reached the place that God had told him about, verse 9, Abraham built an altar there, arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. He went over and took the ram and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the place the Lord will provide Jehovah Jireh. On the mountain of the Lord it will be provided. And Jewish teaching just simply says that this was the end of human sacrificing. You see, some of us have battled with that question, just like me. How could God even tell Abraham to do that? Well, people were offering sacrifices, as I said earlier, of their kids. And God is saying there'll be no more of this. And there's only one sacrifice, human sacrifice, that will ever be used, and that is Jesus Christ. We sat there, we stretched our theology, and then we walked away. For us, God is provider. Abraham's faith in God resulted in the provision of that sacrifice, if you will, a ram in the bush to die in the place of Isaac. Isaac, on the other hand, becomes like a type of Christ. His life is shown here as a type of Christ. The ram becomes a sacrifice. Jesus Christ died for our sins so that we wouldn't have to die. Hebrews 9:22, for without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness, no remission. Faith activated, provision given. Faith activated, Abraham's miracle. Faith activated that became sight of what he was waiting for when he said, I'm going up the hill, but I'm coming back after we worship. It's faith activated. You don't have to go to Israel to let your faith become sight, but you can. October 2nd, 2023, next trip. Okay. Faith takes sight when you see and you hear the sights and the sounds of Israel. But faith takes sight for us here, right here in Ahoskie, when we see God do things for us that we've been praying for. If our musicians would come back to us. Faith takes sight when you see God do something in your family. Faith takes sight when you see God restore a relationship. Faith takes sight when God heals you of your sicknesses. Faith takes sight when God restores a lost or broken relationship, or brings us out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel. Some of you know what you were, who you were, and today you're a different person because you've been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Faith takes sight. Let's respond today. If my ministers and prayer team members would come and just stand. I'm speaking to a people today who undoubtedly you are sitting here in this room. You're sitting here in this holy place today, believing God for something. Believing God for something. I'm just, Pastor, pray for me. I'm believing God for, and every one of you have your list. I'm praying for my son. I'm praying for my daughter. I'm praying for this report I got at the doctor's office. I'm whatever you're praying for. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen yet. Would you stand with me, and as we begin to sing, would you step out of your seat? Would you do something this morning? Would you activate your faith? Would you do that? Would you activate your faith? Would you connect your hands with someone else's? If any two shall agree, as touching any one thing, it shall be done. Just step out of your seat. Take a moment and activate your faith. Father, in the name of Jesus, mighty and strong, we come to you today, God, with gratitude in our hearts, thanking you that you still answer prayer, that you still save, you still heal, you still deliver, you still set free, you still touch our bodies. Still touch our bodies. You still make whole. You still make provision. You still provide sacrifices. You do all of these things. I pray for your family today, the family of God. Rest over this congregation in our heart of hearts. Speak peace to us, God, about whatever it is we're inclined, we're bombarding your ears with. God, touch our business. God, touch our family. God, touch our community. God, touch our relationship. Whatever you're praying for that is bigger than you, if you could have worked it out, you would. If you could have done it, you'd have already done it. Some things are bigger than us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless you today, Lord. Bless you in Jesus' name. Come on, step out of your seat if you need somebody to pray with you. song, give him praise today, would you? I'm a child of God. I'm a child of God. I have faith in the God who does not fail. I have faith in the God who created it all. I have faith in a God who's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask, think, or imagine, according to Ephesians 3:20. In Jesus' name, Father, bless your people today as we exit this room. Keep us safe in our travels. Father, as we approach this holiday season, God, we speak peace and blessing over families, health, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Hey, listen, there's a bake sale in the foyer. Please help our kids, their youth, or raising funds. Go by the bake sale, get you an appetizer before lunch. Amen. Don't forget tonight, 6 o'clock, time to laugh, okay? 6 o'clock tonight. We'll see you then. God bless you all.